Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. On today's edition, we're going to be talking about training accidents, how easy they can occur, and how easily they can become deadly. In recent months, two security officers have died from training-related accidents, both preventable, in my opinion. But over the course of the last 5 years, as we researched this program today, we have found that not only have security officers died in a training class, a training exercise, but so have civilians and law enforcement officers. So to kick this program off today, let's start with looking at the various types of training where an individual, whether that be a security officer or law enforcement or even a civilian, could be injured. There are many different types of practical hands-on training classes that we give. While many of the trainings that we go to these days are online or they are PowerPoint plus lecture, many others have components or even are 100% all hands-on. Many people are tactile learners. They learn by seeing and then doing, not by reading, not by studying, not by listening, but by seeing it done in a practical exercise and then doing it themselves, maybe sometimes repetitively until they conquer that skill. We all know that many times we have to do training that involves weapons, whether that be less lethal weapons like tasers, OC, baton, or firearm. Sometimes we have to train even with patrol rifles. These are all situations where individuals can be hurt. But there are other injuries, and we're definitely going to be talking about the more deadly type injuries, but there are other injuries that can be sustained during those training classes. And sometimes it's just because we didn't set the class up properly, we didn't consider all the safety aspects, we're doing it in a very tight, confined space, and there's just not enough room to do that exercise, so people are falling all over each other or equipment. And so it really begins laying out the course on paper, understanding the various components and aspects of every class. Will you begin with an hour of lecture? This is how we do CPR. This is the mannequin, don't call them dummies, they don't like that, they want to be called Mr. Mannequin, Mrs. Mannequin. This is the mannequin, this is the equipment we'll be using, this is how you do respirations, this is the face guard that we use so that you don't catch any bad diseases, COVID or anything else. Put on your gloves, this is the PPE, this is the safety gear that's required for this exercise. Are you going to begin with something like that? You should have a clear-cut outline for every class. I don't care if we're going to the range for the day. We want to have a few notes as to how we're going to kick off the class, how we're going to lead up to the actual live fire, and then before everyone runs off, and you know, people, we've all been to the range. People get done with the range, and they think, oh, it's time for me to go home. It's time for me to leave. I got things to do. If that's okay with you, that's cool. But is there another component? Is there something else? Do you have something else that you want to talk about? Do you want to review the scores? Do you want to look at everybody's target? So you want to lay out a lesson plan even when we're going to the range. Everything has a lesson plan. Recently talking to a friend of mine about a little training that we were going to do, and we were not on the same page. He had one idea of what was necessary and didn't really think a lesson plan was necessary or even a topical outline. I do. I'm very organized in the classroom. I've been teaching for a long time. And I'm really just that organized. I want to know, what are we doing in class? What materials do we need? How many people are going to be there? The length of that class? When are we breaking? When are we taking lunch? I'm very organized. And we need to be organized in everything that we do. And definitely when we're doing training of any type. So, it's always best to have, you know, something in writing, an outline. It doesn't always have to be a lesson plan, but you need to have an outline. We're going to do A, B, C, and D. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the equipment we need. This is the materials we have to source. This is how many people will be there. We have to set up chairs, desk. We've got to get the mannequins. We've got to have the ammunition, the targets, whatever we need to be all well ahead of the curve. We got to be prepared well before students arrive. Accidents often happen in class because of disorganization. There are five reasons that we have found that lead to accidents in the class. Disorganization certainly is one of them. When we're not organized, and we are disorganized, that means we're not functioning properly. And it's very easy running here and there and to and fro and trying to get this and trying to get that and trying to put this together that people get hurt. They fall. There's situations where we think that we have something all prepared. We think that we have all of our safety gear. We think that we have, everything in place. And it doesn't always work that way. Especially if we're not prepared. Ever been in class and the instructor or even the teacher, high school, college level even, they didn't do their homework. They didn't do their research and they stutter and they Hey, I know when someone's prepared and someone's trying to wing it. And that's okay. When we're just talking about lectures, PowerPoints, conversation. But when we're talking, about practical exercises, especially where weapons, especially lethal weapons are there, we got to know what we're doing. Now, just recently in Washington, D.C., and we announced it on the Private Officer Beat Radio. We've also announced it in our newsletters. We've talked about this in several other programs that we do. But recently, within the last few months, a District of Columbia library police officer, a special police officer, was in a baton class being taught by a retired Washington, D.C. police lieutenant. I don't know the training exercises or drills or skills that they were going through. But somewhere along the way, it went bad. It went real bad. And for some odd reason that still has not been revealed through the D.C. police investigation or media that we monitor, still no one has said what is the outcome. What happened? You see, somehow, somewhere, some why, that retired police lieutenant instructor pulled his gun and accidentally shot and killed the private Washington, D.C. library police officer. And I don't really say, I don't really believe in accidents when it comes to these type of situations. Someone was negligent. Someone did something so irresponsible that it caused someone to lose their life. I don't know. Number one, when you are in a training scenario, a training situation, and you're using, let's say that you're in a, in this case it was a baton training, why would you, the instructor, need to be carrying your firearm? You know that's a dangerous situation. You know that bad things could happen if you accidentally pull that firearm trying to demonstrate something, and that firearm goes off and you strike and kill a student or another instructor or a civilian that just happens to be walking by the hallway at that time and point. I don't know. I really don't know what happened in this situation, but I want to know, because in a classroom where you're doing practical training, pepper ball, pepper spray, baton, handcuffing, you should not have your gun. You should not have a loaded firearm in the class. In fact, I don't allow students to carry a firearm in the class where we're going to be doing any practical exercises whatsoever, even if it's just handcuffing, even if it's just arrest. This is the arrest procedures. This is the takedown procedures. These are the methods of handcuffing, control techniques. I don't allow anyone to carry a firearm. Maybe in classes where it's just a PowerPoint and a lecture, that's a different story. When we come back from our first break, we're going to talk about another tragedy that occurred during a exercise with a police department that was conducting a citizens police academy. And this ended very tragic as well. Remember, Private Officer International, you can read all of our news every single day, 24/7 at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Join us on social media for all the conversations at facebook.com/Private Officer International and on Twitter at twitter.com/Private Officer. Right now, we are looking for video. If you were in Florida and you were involved in that hurricane, we're looking for video, especially if you worked the scene. If you were on duty, please send it or contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Of course, we'll give you full credit. We'll be right back here on The Legal Side.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
Welcome back to On the Legal Side, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement association. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. We're talking today about training accidents, how easy they happen. Many people are injured throughout the year during training events, and unfortunately, a number are killed as well, such as the Washington, D.C. private library police officer that we just spoke about. But it wasn't more than a few years ago that I believe it was in Maryland, a police department was holding a Citizens Police Academy. And there were a number of folks there going through a use of force situation. And police were talking about use of force and weapons. And during the exercise, they were role-playing. Somewhere along the way, a police officer pulled his firearm, thinking that it was a training gun, either a cert gun or one of those rubber plastic guns that they use for training, and accidentally or inadvertently or recklessly pulled the trigger and shot and killed a senior citizen. I believe she was around 67, maybe older, and she died. Shortly after that, a security company doing regulatory firearms training, they were out in a outdoor firing range, shooting range, and they were doing qualifications. And the instructor, I don't know why he thought this, but he thought the firearm that was laying on the bench was not loaded. It had not been used. It had not been assigned. And he accidentally shot and killed a security officer. He was charged with manslaughter. When we're using weapons of any type, when we're doing simulations or drills or scenario-based training, you should never, never, never have a loaded gun with you. Leave it in the car. Lock it up in your office. Lock it up at the training school. Don't bring it in the classroom. We have had a number of people over the years killed at live fire drills and qualifications. We've had a number of people killed accidentally when there was a gun brought in that someone thought was a training weapon. Someone I know who was also a retired police officer a number of years ago was training in Nashville, Tennessee. And for some reason, he took the magazine out of a gun to show the operation of the weapon or whatever it was, and he never ejected, nor did he look to see if there was a round chambered already, and there was, and the gun accidentally went off and shot him in the finger. And he's lucky it didn't shoot him in the hand or, worse, kill him. He was injured, had to call EMS. Another person that I know who also was an instructor, not a friend, not an acquaintance, but someone I know in the industry. He too was teaching a class. It was a brand new level regulatory arm class. And he too dropped the magazine from his weapon, showing the weapon and talking about the operation and so forth, and he shot himself. You may remember this video that has circulated throughout all of the internet for many years. A law enforcement officer at a school talking about gun safety and various things is bragging about how much he knows about guns and, you know, safety and, you know, how he makes sure that he doesn't accidentally shoot himself. But while he's talking, he does shoot himself in the leg and pretends that he didn't and continues trying to talk through it. And then he fesses up and says, yeah, I need an ambulance. I've shot myself. If you're going to have a firearm loaded with you in any type of training, it needs to remain in the holster. But more importantly, if you're doing any type of skill training, hands-on training, practical training, it needs to be left in the car. I know I don't like going anyplace without my firearm. I know I feel naked, especially these days, if I leave my gun behind. And I get worried if I lock it up in the car because so many firearms are taken, stolen from vehicles these days. But when doing training, there's no exception. That's what has to be done. Besides the physical injuries and sometimes even deaths, there are many other things to worry about in these situations. You could face criminal charges. You could go to prison. Yeah, no, that was an accident. There are accidents that just cannot be avoided, but there are many times negligence situations where you could have prevented, but you were reckless. Reckless in your actions, reckless in your handling of the weapon, reckless in your thought process, negligent. You could face those criminal charges that could land you in prison. You could also face civil lawsuits that could bankrupt you and your business. If you are that business owner, you might be out of business if something like this were to happen. You would be hit with a judgment in court, maybe for hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars. Juries today, they really side with the victim, with the civilian, the citizen, who they believe was wronged. There are many consequences, but here's one that you may not have thought about. Whether it's a good shooting, a bad shooting, an accidental shooting, you'll never forget it. It'll never leave your mind. The bullet has left your gun. You cannot recall it. You cannot put it back in the chamber, the magazine. You cannot have a do-over. Making sure that safety is truly priority one in a training class is more important than many people really realize or really make it number one. We say safety is important. We say that we're going to do everything we can to prevent anyone from being injured, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure you put on your goggles. Make sure that you have your ear PPE on. Make sure that you have this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? We have to do more than talk. We need to be the number one. We have to make safety the number one priority in any training class. Whether it be someone who just trips over a bunch of stuff that we have in the middle of the room and gets injured, You know, I've seen times when people are injured. They break an ankle. You know, they have cuts, all sorts of things. And if you're staying on top of the news these days, one of the big ones right now is that many recruits and many seasoned officers that are required to do physical agility tests once a year are dying of heart attacks. How can you prepare for that? How can you prevent that? I don't know. In both of these scenarios, both with the candidate, the recruit, as well as the seasoned officer who's going in for an annual, oftentimes a physical is done prior to any training. Short of having a complete battery of tests and exams on the heart, including a stress test, there's really no way that we can prepare for it. Just this year, there were two recruits that died during their police academy. There are lawsuits right now because they say that instructors subjected them to physical punishment. In other words, like the old days when I was in the military, you know, if you didn't do what you were supposed to, or if you held up the class or held up the exercise, you would pay for it physically later. I don't know what's going to happen in those cases, but we have to make sure that we don't push the students to do more than they can, and we definitely cannot punish them physically, whether that be drop and give me 50 push-ups or run 2 miles, even though we can clearly see that they're not in the condition to do that. We cannot use punishment, physical punishment, as part of our training. About 3 years ago, I was a visitor at a private school, and we were talking about training some of their students in a security class that we were going to put together for them. But the person who handled the training was retired Marine, and that person wore those students out, running every day, physical exercise, PT. I really did think I was back in the military days. It was pretty strict, and you will find that many military academies and private schools are very strict, and they do use punishment, physical punishment, such as exercise. You know, give me 100 push-ups, give me 50 squats, and then give me 50 pull-ups, and let's run 5 miles. Well, that's a punishment to the body, and that is used sometimes in that way as a punishment. But we have to make sure as instructors that we're not punishing students and definitely not causing them to go into cardiac arrest or to be injured in any other way. Remember, you could definitely face criminal charges, and if not criminal, civil liabilities, civil penalties. It could put you out of business. It could bankrupt you. But even more than all of that, we need to be equitable. We need to be equitable to everybody. We need to be, make sure that we're not punishing anybody, and make sure that we're there with their best interest at heart. No matter what type of training you're doing, safety should be number one. You should be organized. You should have all the right safety equipment. You should have a secondary instructor, or maybe even a third, depending on the size of class, to make sure that everyone's following safety protocols, whether you're on the range or the classroom. Number four, and I should put this number one actually, no guns in the classroom, especially when you're doing any practical exercises, period. And number five, we need to be monitoring our students, especially when we are performing physical exercises, skills, drills, scenario-based type training, making sure that they're breathing okay, making sure that they're not clutching their chest, making sure that they're not all sweaty and red and hot and about to suffer a stroke, especially, and I've seen this, even with some security training, you know, summertime, it's 95 degrees outside, extremely humid, and we're outside doing training. Is that really necessary? There's a lot of factors to take into place when you're doing training, but you really need to make safety priority one. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of On the Legal Side. Remember, if you've been involved in situations in the hurricane down in Florida or in South Carolina where they also got some tropical damage, please send that information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you're not already a POI member, please go to privateofficer.org and sign up today. There's a button at the top of the first page, the landing page. You can join right now for $99. It's a special that we have held on to for years. I think everyone should join. There are many advantages and benefits included in the membership. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, y'all be blessed. Stay safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.